Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Unicron Issue 4. We've got a whole lot of Bumblebee movie news to talk about, and more episodes of Transformers Cyberverse are available. Today is Friday, October 19th, 2018, and this is episode 99 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's so hungry it could eat a whole planet or three. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I would like my dressing on the side with those planets. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. No new donations this week. Sorry, everyone. But thank you again to all of our beautiful Donatrions who continue to give us money on PayPal and Patreon. You guys are awesome.
And everyone that everyone should have gotten their lanyard from a couple of months ago, and if you were due pins from last month, those have all been mailed out too.
And if you haven't, you know why.
And if you got two, then I am bad with spreadsheets.
If you got two, Jeremy knows why.
I think someone might have gotten two.
Oh, Jesus.
No one was going to out you, Jeremy. You didn't have to out yourself.
Someone, when they got to, would say it. Oh, and if you're Canadian and in proximity to Daryl, he's probably going to bring yours back from TFCon.
All right. Well, let's jump right into our comic review.
All right. This week, we are looking at Unicron number 4, as voted on by our Patreon community. We've been putting some polls up, and this week we just gave the choices of Unicron number 4 or Optimus Prime number 24. We're going to try to kind of clear out the continuity and then double back to some of the other stuff. So Unicron number 4, written by John Barber, art by Alex Milne, colors by Sebastian Ching, pages 2 through 7, 9 and 10, and 17 through 20, and David Garcia Cruz, pages 1, 8, and 11 through 16. Letters by Tom B. Long, editor David Marriott, and publisher is Greg Goldstein. There are four covers. Cover A has Ert. Unicron is here, and he has not come in peace. This is Alex Milne and Josh Perez. Cover B is part four of the connecting cover by James Reyes and... David Garcia Cruz. And cover retailer incentive A shows Optimus trying to escape the mouth of Unicron. He looks like he's being sucked in. And this is by Guido Guidi. And retailer incentive B has Rom and Aileron in Unicron's orbit. And this is by Franco Francavilla. I believe just from looking at some of these, Charles, do you think that these are also connecting? Because I saw number 5 kind of is similar, but a different part of Unicron.
Maybe. I didn't really notice. I'll have to go back and check.
It hasn't been advertised as being connecting.
Yeah.
But Charles, out of the four, which one do you prefer?
I think the one that's Guido Guidi. That's a really cool image of Optimus Prime being sucked up by Unicron. I really like that.
Cool. Yoshi, how about you?
I'm going to disagree with Charles and go with the Guido Guidi cover because it's really awesome.
All right.
Thank you for disagreeing with me, Yoshi.
Love you.
Daryl, how about you?
Well, I did buy 3 of the 4 of these covers. I'm going to probably give it to Guido Guidi this time around. It's a really nice cover. Jeremy, you said he was being sucked up into the mouth of Unicron. Is on Unicron's chest in robot mode. So I'm gonna say it's his chest he's being sucked up into.
Okay, well, that whatever, he's being sucked into Unicron.
That works. But this takes nothing away from the cover A, which I also really, really like, showing the chaos that the eyes of Unicron, you know, just kind of looking down on you show. And that James Reyes one is just, it's huge, it's detailed, it's really cool. But the Guido one looks pretty cool. All
right. I will probably make it unanimous. The Guido one looks really sharp, and just the colors as well. I mean, it's just so bright coming from the insides of Unicron, and I think it's a fantastic cover. But yeah, cover A is also just that menacing look. I really like it. On to the story. The title of the issue is Road's End, which is kind of a play on the end of G1, where it was End of the Road. In deep space, Prowl is having a conversation with a small statue of Unicron's head. He's convinced that Unicron and Shockwave have overlooked one important fact in their plans, that Prowl is still out there and will stop them. Stardrive isn't so optimistic and arrives with news that they have lost contact with Cybertron. Now only Earth stands in the way of the Planet Killer, and Prowl knew that's where the last stand would be. On Earth, in the G.I. Joe Field HQ, they've also lost contact with Cybertron. Many say that's a good thing, but the U.S. President and Scarlet aren't among them. With the recent attack on G.I. Joe by the mutated Maximals, they're convinced that they're next. That's why they're standing outside of Joe Colton's cell. He explains the talisman and how it played into his plans to invade Cybertron and how it can kill Cybertronians. At the same time on Cybertron, Windblade is also discussing the talisman. She's talking with the visionaries about it and how it can save everyone. Only saving everyone will be done by Unicron eating Cybertron. She's come to ask if they can use their magic to move everyone somewhere else, like they moved New Prismos from within Cybertron up to the surface. It's at this moment that Unicron has begun pulling the planet in two. Looking up in horror, Strongarm tries to maintain order among the Cybertronians around her. At MacAdam's new oil house, Blur is tending the bar as he sees this as yet another crisis. He notices the ribbon of magic and figures that it would lead to a better end than staying on the planet, but not everyone is going to make it. So he runs as fast as he can, and he tosses everyone he sees into the path of the ribbon. He saves everyone except himself. Elsewhere, Shockwave is saying his goodbyes to Optimus and teleports away. Inside Metroplex, Aileron is urgently demanding an answer. Do they have Metroplex activated Space Ridge or not? Optimus orders them to do it as he jumps out of a window and into one of the energy beams on the planet. He'll find them on Earth somehow. In orbit, Alita 1 is not about to go out by being treated like a bug. She uses the last of what control she has over Carcer and rams it into Unicron's face. Chromia, nearby in orbit, is starting to accept her fate when the beams hit her ship and presumably the Torchbearers too. Finally, Cybertron dies as Unicron rips it in two, and more stars fade in the background as his energies spread across the universe. On Earth, Shockwave has arrived in downtown Toronto. Rhinox, Optimus Primal, and Beast Megatron are there as well, though not in their mutated state. Shockwave orders Rhinox to clean the city before Bludgeon arrives. He plans for Earth to be the beginnings of a new Cybertronian Empire, and the natives play no role in those plans. Near Jupiter, Cosmos has also lost contact with Cybertron, and he's worried. Skybite, Laserbeak, and Buzzsaw are all with him, but seeing Bludgeon's fleet appear, they all plan to save themselves and leave. Cosmos is sure that Optimus has a plan, though, and he just needs more time, so Cosmos plans on slowing the fleet down. The others decide to join him, and they all sacrifice themselves to buy time for the others on board the station to escape. Bludgeon is content to let those escape for now and is gloating when he sees something that terrifies him. Prowl's team has shown up and Stardrive is working out some serious issues as she takes out the Maximals. She begins to believe that there's some hope until she looks over and sees that the giant form of Unicron has also arrived. On Earth, Shockwave is surprised that Unicron has survived until he realizes that this means the talisman was not on Cybertron. Elsewhere, Windblade and Ironhide find themselves near the Zambia and Zimbabwe borders with the talisman. They initially think that they're the last Cybertronians, when shortly afterwards, Metroplex and all the people that they had saved arrived on Cybertron, or arrived from Cybertron. Elated to see their friends, they wonder what the next step is. Optimus has the same plan that he always has. Just find a way. So this is a kind of a chaotic story in my mind. You're kind of going from, you know, event to event, but it's that part of the story right in the middle where you're setting up the final conflict. So, I mean, not terribly action filled, but there is a few. I mean, we start like Cosmos dies, Buzzsaw and Laserbeak, Blur, which I thought the Blur death was kind of significant because with him mentioning this as a crisis, and if you're familiar with the DC crisis events, a Flash always dies in a crisis, and Blur is probably the Cybertronian Flash. So as soon as I read it, I was like, is that an homage? And I checked the TF Wiki, and they already put it in there. What do you guys think about this? And Daryl, and do you think you would have survived in any of this being so close to Toronto?
Maybe.
This could be your heroic origin story right here.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
I might be able to take out no.
Hello, Captain Canuck.
You just have to find that one pin and
that's
figure
right.
out
knock
how to,
it out
how
and
he'll
fall
it out.
Apart in half. So I really liked this book. This book has got some of the best art. And that's saying a lot from the Unicron stories. Mm-hmm. Alex is continuing to raise the bar on himself, which is unimaginable, actually. Starting off, I thought, like you mentioned, Jeremy, the Blur storyline was fantastic. I don't read DC, well, not very much, and I'm not familiar with the Flash Crisis connection. So when I see Blur running around throwing guys into the path of the ribbon, I'm thinking Star Trek Generations. I'm thinking, Star Trek Generations reference. Okay, I get it. And then I see the panel where Blur is just blown to smithereens, and I'm like, holy crap, that's, you know, awesome. But, you know, he sacrificed himself, and there it is. He's just blown to bits. And it's gruesome, but, you know, kind of beautiful because he gave himself for how many people, right? And then you follow along, and the detail that's put into these big, huge, massive panels, the page spreads and whatnot, is crazy. The fact that it ended up in Toronto, I thought was hilarious because Toronto never gets a mention in anything.
Yeah,
that's got to be Alex saying, look, just let's do something in Toronto. So thanks, Alex. Thanks for bringing the war here. In one of the scenes, like, because it is Toronto, one of the scenes, Shockwave, when Shockwave's just looking down on Toronto, you see a building named with the BMO on the side of it. It's one of the tallest ones in the foreground there. My cousin actually works in that building. I'm gonna crop out this panel and send it to him and be like, hey, look, your building's on fire. You know, the scene where Cosmos, Buzzsaw and Laserbeak and Skybite bite it. That's sad, especially with Cosmos because he was so optimistic. I was hoping to see a quick panel swap back to Soundwave where he realized Buzzsaw and Laserbeak were dead.
Yeah, kind of like what
exactly,
we got with Ravage,
right? Where his connection was strong. We didn't get that, but
he was mid teleport,
yeah, so you have to assume that was happening. So that's when I saw like the bodies floating around, I had to tilt my head to realize it was Cosmos, and then I came to the realization it was, and I got all sad. It's like, oh, not Cosmos. So I'm thoroughly impressed with the art. The story is, you know, it's a mid, you know, series story where they're, like you said, they are setting up the big finale. They're getting all their pieces in place, right? I liked it. I liked this book a lot. and I have to say, the majority of it has to do with the art. The art really grabbed me because it's just, it's top notch.
Cool. Yoshi, what do you think? Your boy Cosmo bit the dust?
It's, I'm a little teary-eyed. I won't lie to you. But we're not going to focus on that, Jeremy.
He died a hero.
I'm going to echo and add to what Daryl said. The art is, my God, it's a breath of fresh air. It's beautiful. And I think it would be wrong of us not to mention the fact that this book had two different colorists on it. And I think one thing I have noticed.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. One thing I'm noticing about this is it seems like Sebastian Chang uses textures a little more freely than David Garcia Cruz does. Now, I'm going through here and I'm counting pages and hopefully I'm looking at the right things. They both use textures completely differently than what Josh Perez uses them. So that's why this issue is sticking out as a beautiful issue, because I'm not seeing not the abusive use of textures that I normally see. Like on page one, the depiction of space there, that's all textures. And then like if I'm counting my pages right, like almost all the bots that Sebastian colors has textures on them. It's really hard to tell with this PDF copy we're using here because it is pixelated, but it looks like all the bots, especially Optimus Prime, are textured up. But again, it's such a reduced amount from what I'm used to seeing that I think it just goes to show you that a part of why this is so beautiful is because that's not being done. It's a very bright, a very colorful, and a very sharply rendered, issue. It's one of the better ones. I agree with Daryl. It's certainly one of the better ones. If you're this is an issue to get. If you're just like more of an art liker, more of an art lover for comics, like it is a beautiful book to look at.
Charles, what did you think?
Yeah. I mean, the art in this book is top notch. Particularly, I mean, Yoshi is the guy who's crazy about textures. I don't really care. I like it, all the coloring in this book, but what I notice is that in particular, Shockwave's deep purple really shines through there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the bots are really, you know, really have their essential colors. Windblade is another bot that stands out to me, and having her colors really nicely rendered. And the humans.
Yeah, those little deeper reds.
Yeah, exactly. The humans look great, too, along with the bots. And yeah, the whole book is really awesome. The story I thought was good. I mean, it's really kind of a, you know, turned up to 11 fast paced story from beginning to end. The only one thing that I felt, kind of off for me. And I mean, it's again, I think this is Yoshi's complaint about Optimus Prime is that, you know, his plan is, do your best. I mean, that's not a plan. That's it's just, you know, I mean,
and they tried so hard to sell that line because he looks so freaking, this is gonna happen. We'll do our. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
I mean, it's the art really sells it. That profile of Optimus Prime is awesome, but that line, we find a way, that just fell flat for me. But the whole rest of the book is great. I mean, everything was great. I right above that on the last page, I also got to call out Mr. Tom B. Long here in the panel right above that on the last page where RC kisses Aileron on the head, and you've got that smooch. That's a Tom B. Long special there. That lettering there. That's
really nice. The towel above that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is no Curtis Fandango book. this is a genuine Tom B. Long book.
But yeah, I mean, this all these scenes with, like, I mean, especially the scene where this Metroplex teleports in and all the bots are standing there, and then you've got the Elonians down there at their feet, and then all the ships above them in the sky, and having a Windblade hug Optimus Prime. I like that too as well. Just everything looks awesome, and yeah, this is a really if you're not enjoying the Unicron story, this is just a great showcase of art. I think the story was good too, but I think the art really shines in this book.
So I do have a question for you, Charles.
Okay.
I mentioned it in the review. Optimus Primal and Beast Megatron, we did see them in space mutated, right? In previous issue. I could have sworn we did. Yeah, here they're perfectly fine.
Yeah. I don't remember that happening. Maybe they were, because I think they were, yeah, they would have been with the Maximal ship, so they should have been mutated when the ship was absorbed by Unicron.
I mean, I could have sworn that we saw mutated versions of them and commented on that, and then I don't know if that's, maybe they'll play it off as it wasn't the same people.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember. I mean, I also don't think I was here for the Unicron number 3 review, so I read it on my own. Well,
they knew that would be a Charles-less review and they could get away with some stuff.
Yeah. I did also catch the Flash reference because I watched the TV show, and you know, every episode of the show he says, "I'm Barry Allen and I'm the fastest man alive," so that was easy to catch that reference with Blur. This makes me crave a Blur Flash crossover now. I want to.
If only we could have gotten that JLA Transformers crossover.
Yeah, I want Blur to have a connection to the Speed Force.
That would be awesome.
I have a question. Do Transformers itch?
Shockwave does, apparently.
So that was the only line that took me out of it for a bit. It was like being presented with his new hand. It's like it was beginning to itch. Like, wait a minute, you don't itch.
I took that as more of a phantom limb type issue, because he was getting his replacement, his blaster arm back.
Yeah, and that's how I took it as well, as a phantom limb kind of a feeling. But itching is not a thing I would associate with Transformers. So
unless they've got a scraplet infection.
I guess. I don't know.
And shout out to Toronto's Finest, who are taking on Shockwave with just their pistols.
Yes.
Which does as little as you would expect.
And kudos, and it's probably, I'm going to have to zoom in here to tell, but I think it is, yes, Alex has drawn one of them wearing a, it's not the, yes, it's a headdress. It's not a... Crap, I've forgotten the name of it. What is it? A turban, yes. Turban? Yes, he's drawn one of them wearing a turban. So, yes, because that is one of an option for a Canadian police officer, is they can wear that instead of the regular hat.
So, you died in this issue, Daryl, does that mean you don't want to read the rest of the books?
But I didn't.
No, not yet.
I mean, 2 hours outside of Toronto, it's going to take a while for the Maximals to get to you.
How big do you think Canada is? It's not that big, Charles. He's just right next there to Timmy's. He's gone.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we move on, there's one more thing I wanted to cover. There's a short story in the back is featuring the Micronauts called Transition. This is written by Christos Gage. Arts by Paolo Villanelli, colors by Mattia Icano, letters by Tom B. Long, edits by David Mariette. And this is just a short, like, in the Microverse, the Micronauts are kind of knowing something is happening, and then Azyron Rael, who was a member of their crew initially, but now has become this time traveler, is telling them that everything is going to end. He can't see what's past the end, but everything is about to come to an end, and he can like help them relive a memory or something in the time that they have left. And I just thought this was kind of like, this was a nice send off for the Micronauts, but it was a meta story in my mind, where if you listen to everything he's saying, he's talking to the comic reader saying, hey, all the old stories are still going to be there, but something new is coming. And I just, I got a kick out of it.
The exact same feeling. It's like he's answering all the questions that all the fans are asking right now.
Yeah. Charles and Yoshi, did you guys read that backup story?
Yeah, I did. I was reading the Micronauts for a while, so I was invested in those characters. So, yeah, I guess I'll pull out my old issues and relive those final moments of the Micronauts.
All right. Well, the final thing in the book was just the interviews that they've had this month was Sarah Petra Durocher and Margaret Scott both talking about their time with To All Are One and Windblade and everything. So it's a good short Q&A with both of them. I'm really enjoying those as they're kind of giving everyone a chance to kind of say their goodbyes.
I loved Sarah's answer to, are there any stories you wanted to tell and newer and never got the chance to? And she says, I would love to draw the space adventures of Chromia and friends, space shenanigans in space. So, yeah, I thought that was hilarious. She's a funny lady.
Well, and Margaret wanted to have more Tankors appear and have, she says she wanted it to Tankor to be the equivalent of Jeff on Earth, just kind of a common name. So anyway, they had a very fun Q&A's. So that is it for our comic review.
All right, let's go on to some media news.
All right, in media news this week, lots of stuff apparently happened. Let's go with Robots in Disguise, Combiner Force, new DVD is coming out in Australia. Freedom Fighters is the name of it. And it will be out December the 5th and will be approximately $14.99 Australian dollars. So look for that if you are in Australia. Episode 7 of Cyberverse aired this weekend in America. I believe 9 and 10 aired here in Canada. So, yeah, we're ahead of you now. Sorry.
I thought you got 7 and 8.
That was last week.
No, last week you had 5 and 6. We talked about it last week.
Charles, Daryl lives in Canada. He might know.
Yeah, I think we got 9 and 10. Whatever, we're ahead of you.
Did you, what were the two episodes you saw?
I haven't watched them with my daughter yet, so they're on the DVR.
Yeah, I discussed with Daryl before the show episode 7, and he's also seen the one after that. So, yeah. And that was last week. Yeah.
Well, you're wrong.
So what's on my DVR?
I don't know.
Porn, probably.
Two new episodes. Anyway, I'm going to watch them tomorrow, and then I'm going to tell you all about them. No. Not 5 and 6
then why,
they were.
We talked.
I don't know.
We talked about
Charles, these. TF Wiki has episodes 9 and 10 on there, at least the titles.
So. We've had the titles.
We've known the titles for weeks.
I'm going to watch them. I'm going to go watch them right now. You wait. Jeremy, why don't you tell us about the CBR story?
The CBR story was, if I can find it, someone moved it.
They moved it.
I put it at the end because I thought it would be...
Because I had put it at the beginning.
Most interesting at the end.
The CBR story is saying that Bumblebee's biggest hurdle may be rewriting Transformer movie history. And, I mean, it's basically saying how the Bumblebee trailer looks great and... You know, the other Transformer movies are kind of junk. So, I mean, it does go into like the IDW comics and stuff. It's kind of some kind of a prequel reboot type thing. I don't know. It's a neat article. And I like how it kind of goes into the comics and relates them to the movies where the comics have had soft reboots throughout.
That's cool. So next up, we have brand new Transformers Bumblebee promo art from their 2019 wall calendar. What? We're getting a wall calendar? Awesome. I'm not buying that. They got decent designs. They're all the movie stuff, though. So, anyway, if you're interested in a wall calendar, guess what? They're going to have one. That's cool. Bumblebee, the movie promo at Brand Licensing Expo 2018. This is at Olympia Grand in London, England. And this has also happened. But Hasbro did attend the event, and yeah, they showed off some Bumblebee licensed stuff. For those of you audiophiles out there, you'll be happy to know that the Transformers Bumblebee movie is continuing with Dolby Atmos technology. So it'll be really loud when you go to see it in the theater. And they're doing some reshoots for Bumblebee the movie. So we've got, so story says, no specific details were available. We do know that Haley Steinfeld and Jason Drucker, and Bumblebee, the Volkswagen Beetle one, were involved with the reshoots. Ryan Tedder and Haley Steinfeld have recorded a original song for Transformers Bumblebee movie. So cool. I guess she sings. I didn't know that about her.
That's what she was most known for before the movie.
I had no idea who she was. I just knew her as Jerry Seinfeld's daughter. And we have an interview with Transformers Bumblebee script writer Christina Hodson. So that was done by Den of the Geeks, or Den of Geeks, sorry. So take a look at that if you're interested. That's all the media news. That was a lot of stuff, guys.
All right, let's finish up the show with some convention news.
All right, we just have a couple TFCon announcements. Matt Moylan of Lilleformers fame is going to be attending, and he's a TFCon regular. He also worked at Dreamwave Productions. I believe now he works
Udon.
Company he works for. Udon. Yeah, he works at Udon. But he will be having prints. He does sketches and stuff. I have a sketch from him from a few years ago. Daryl, I think every year gets something from him. So yeah, check it out. And also we mentioned this back in August, but Daryl did a little investigative journalism and confirmed it with him. Thomas Deere will be attending TFCon as well. And from August, we have the tweet that he gave in August. He had a preview of a print that he's going to have featuring Metroplex and a number of Easter eggs and stuff in there. So that looks great. And so check it out. I'm looking forward to finally meeting him in person. He's done a lot of work with IDW. So that is it for convention news.
All right, and we don't have any feedback this week, so if you want to leave us feedback, go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback and tell us what you think. Are you enjoying the last few issues of the IDW Comics universe, Transformers universe? Let us know your thoughts. That'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
All right.
We hit it.
Yep.
And I hit it so hard.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right, Yoshi's only got 10 minutes. We got to speed it up.
Well, stop arguing with me then.